Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, Lord will, I'm going to be playing a song for y'all right now. I don't know what's going on, but...
Time is drawing nigh.
and the sky, and I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Yeah, this men are lovers of themselves, proud and boasters too, covetous, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents too, unthankful, unholy, and this is the reason why I can see the end of time is drawing nigh. Can you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the sign on the land, destruction in the sky. I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Men are lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're forever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's how I know the end of time is drawing nigh. Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? Can't you see the end of time is drawing nigh? I see the sign on the land, destruction in the sky.
Well, amen. The Lord Jehovah, God, for this Thursday evening. I believe it's the 2nd of July, 2015. And we praise the Lord God in heaven for another day. Amen. I hope I'm doing all right on the radio. I'm out in Arkansas right now. But we are distance between each other on the computer, so I don't know what's going on, what's happening, and I'm just trusting we're on the air. We're only going to preach for a few minutes tonight here, probably, whatever the Lord had me to do. I'm going to read a few scriptures here, and then we're probably going to turn it over to the Brother Bernard again. I know some of y'all have listened to him, and anyways, I like the CD. I feel led in this way again. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I feel led to do it this way, but I'm gonna read a little bit, and I'm preaching from my truck right now, so we're gonna go that direction, amen. And we're outside in my pickup truck. And preaching to you on the phone. So I don't know how clear the phone's going to be. It's on a cell phone. I usually preach on a home phone. So, but anyways, in the Bible, it was a long time when you, okay, I got a thumbs up. That's a blessing. In Isaiah 12:2, this is my verse I like to read before we always get going. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Amen. And so I praise God for that verse. He is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. Because Jehovah is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. Isaiah 12:2, and I praise the Lord for that. Amen. We're doing good this evening. Praise God. We're having a pretty good time where we're at. Praise the Lord and witnessing to a few folks. And we had a good service last Sunday out at Old Faith Baptist Church in Paris, Texas. Brother Brandon Teague is a pastor out there, and we enjoyed the fellowship with the people. Had a mighty good time, amen. We praise the Lord for that. And we are praying for them as they are praying for us. And we glorify God for what happened. Amen. It was a blessing to be in that service. And we're still talking about it, amen. It's a week later, but we still praise the Lord God for it. It was a blessing. It was uplifting. Amen. It was like fuel. You know, God filled up our tank again and gave us fuel to run on a few more miles. Amen. And we better have fuel in our tanks, amen, to run a few more miles because nighttime's coming. I know everybody's talking about it, amen, especially the preachers and the Christians of what's going on in our country. And, man, I tell you what, we're in pitiful shape. I believe God's fixing to destroy her. I believe God is sick and angry and disgusted with this vile, God-hating nation. It ain't no Christian nation, man. I don't care if they fly the flag or not. That doesn't make it a Christian nation because they fly the American flag. Under the American flag, there's been a lot of abortions. Look what happened under the American flag. We got sodomites and lesbians. We got perverted president. Hey, man, he's a pervert. His wife's a pervert. They're wicked inside the White House. And I never thought I'd ever see the day when the White House would put rainbow colors up on there. But still, I got news for you perverts out there and you sodomites and lesbians and the president. And now he's not my president, but you call him your president. And those people that are involved up there in Congress and everything, you know what? God gave the rainbow right after he destroyed all the people, amen, in the flood of Noah. And God said he wouldn't destroy the earth again with a flood, but he will destroy this earth, amen, in 2 Peter chapter 3 with a fervent heat. God is going to burn this place down. The whole world is going to burn in a fervent heat, everything. I don't care if you believe that or not. You can mock God. You can blaspheme Jehovah God. But Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Amen. I count it a joy. I'm not shook up about this. You can't stop Bible prophecy. It's going to be fulfilled. And God said it would be. Amen. And that's where we're at today, according to the Bible. As it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the second coming. Amen. God promised us it's going to be like this. So as a child of God, we ought to be rejoicing, praising God. Amen. Not being all upset about it. And everything else, we cannot stop God's word, amen. If we could stop God's word, then it wouldn't be fulfilled. But we can't stop God's word. God said it'd be like this in the last days, and all these years I've been preaching for 31 years, amen. And I tell you what, I've seen Bible prophecy being fulfilled so fast. And God said it's going to be like this, but let the sodomites, amen, let them thumb their nose up at God, but their God's going to burn them one day. With a fervent heat, amen. God's going to rain hellfire and brimstone on this earth, and God's going to cast them into hellfire and brimstone one day into hell. They're not going to heaven. I don't care what you Christians say. I don't believe most of you people call yourself Christian saved anyways, amen. I'm judging you, amen. By their fruits you shall know them. You call yourself a child of God today. Bless God, let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, amen, you're not going to be in drunkenness and lewdness and nakedness. Amen, you're not going to be running the bars. You ain't going to be a sodomite. You ain't going to be a baby killer. I don't care what you say. The Bible says those things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen, if you ain't become new in your life, bless God, you ain't new. You ain't God. You going to church, you got a form of godliness. You going to church is all you're doing, man. You're sitting on a pew. Amen. All that's all you're doing is filling a spot on your pew. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what Jesus said. If you do not repent of your wicked sins, of your nastiness, of your ungodliness, you will burn in the same hell the rich man went to. Everybody that rejects Jesus Christ, every sodomite, every lesbian, every drunkard, every whoremonger, every adulterer, idolater, effeminate, abuser of mankind, amen, all liars shall have their place in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Yes, sir, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what God said. That ain't what I said, but that's what God said in his word, amen. If you don't like it, lump it, amen. But everything in that Bible is being by prophecy is being fulfilled today. That's why we're in the shape we're in, amen. We ought to have been expecting it. Amen. We ought to have been expecting it because God said it's going to be like that. And everything we're seeing happen today is written down in this old book called the King Jesus Version. It is being fulfilled just like God said it would. And we ought to rejoice. The Bible said when you see these things come to pass, he said, rejoice, leap for joy when they persecute you. Leap for joy when they call you a fanatic. Leap for joy, amen, when they're mad at you. Amen, I don't care if a sodomite's mad at me or not. Amen, they're dogs in the eyes of God Almighty. They need a Savior, but most of them are going to go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ, and God turns them over to a reprobate mind. Amen, I don't care if you like that or not. Amen, I'm going to preach truth to you. I'm not going to lie to you. You ain't going to heaven. I don't care what your lying preacher tells you. Amen. You come to Jesus as you are, but you leave a different person. If you come to Jesus as you are and leave as you are, bless God, you're still lost in your wicked sins, man. And when, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. That's not what your preacher says. That's what God said in his word. Amen. Unless ye repent, you shall all burn in hell. Amen. We'll break it down even further for you. How's that? Amen. I'm telling you, by the word of God, and that's what's going to get us persecuted. That's what's going to get our heads cut off. That's what's going to, they're going to kill us, lock us up, beat us up. Amen. Like that preacher on Facebook, amen, that put out there, them two preachers getting beat up by them sodomites, amen, lesbians out there that day. Yeah, they ain't mean people. Hogwash, man, they're dogs in the sight of God, amen. They're reprobates. Amen. And then all these laws are going to be passed saying we can't say this and we can't say that. So you better pin your ears back and get ready to just stand. When we've done all the stand, we need to stand, buddy. You understand me? We just need to stand and preach and proclaim the gospel. Amen. And proclaim, amen. It's all gospel. Amen. We preach the word of God to them. He said, preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, they will heap to themselves teachers because of the lust of their own hearts. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're lusting in their hearts against God Almighty. They want the world. They don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want holiness. They don't want godliness. And the churches don't want holiness and godliness. They want nakedness, man. They want lewdness. They want to live like hell and call it heaven, amen. But I'm telling you something. You ain't going to heaven, bless God. Most of you out there tonight, amen. If anybody listened to my voice tonight, amen, if you've never repented of your sins and asked the Lord to save you, you are not going to heaven. You're not going to go to heaven by speaking in tongues or being baptized, even being baptized in the name of Jesus. He said, unless ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, repent, comma. Bless God, take care of the repenting part, and the rest will come to you, honey. That's what the Bible's teaching, amen. But you don't want to repent. Your preacher won't tell you to repent. But I'm telling you, by the word of God, if you do not repent of your wicked sins, you are not going to heaven. I don't care if you've been baptized in Jesus' name. I don't care if you've been baptized at all. I don't care if you belong to a church. Amen. You are not going to heaven until you repent of your sins. If you do not confess your sins before God Almighty, you are not going to heaven. I don't care if you like that or not. Amen. I don't care if you hate me. I don't care if you call me a bigot. I don't care if you call me whatever you want to call me. You are not going to heaven unless you repent. Jesus said, unless ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what Jesus said. Amen. We're living in a time, amen, that Jesus said he's coming back. Amen. But we're going to be persecuted first. We're going to be hated. Amen. You say, well, we're going to be raptured out of here. No, that's a lie, too. You are not going to be raptured out of here before God starts persecuting, letting the persecution hit the Christians of America. We are no better than the churches across the country, across the world. Amen. We're no better. And God, hey, I'm telling you, God said those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. And I'm not talking about trying to have you make a cake. Amen. And forcing you to make a cake and lose your business. That's persecution, but that ain't all of it. God said they're going to put some in jail. God said they're going to kill some of us. Amen. They're going to beat some of us up. Amen. I don't care. Listen to me. Your family's going to walk away from you. Your friends are going to walk away from you. You walk in holiness and godliness and righteousness. You are not going to be loved by the world. The world will hate you because they hate Jesus Christ. This country hates Jesus Christ. 99% of the people in this country are not Christian. They are lost, devil, antichrist, God-hating, unbelieving, lying, drunken, whoremongering, adulterous people, and they're going straight to a devil's hell. Amen. I don't care if you like that or not. I don't care if you like me anymore or not.
Amen. I look for Jesus Christ to come, but I'm telling you, we're going to go through a storm in this country because this country has turned their back against Jehovah God, turned the country over to a bunch of sodomites and lesbians and dogs is what God calls them in the Bible, whether you like that or not, Christian. If you are a Christian, I'm telling you. And God didn't destroy the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed the sinner. And every sinner, bless God, that's lost, I'm telling you, if you're lost, you're a sinner. And I'm telling you this, amen, every sodomite, lesbian, amen, every baby-killing reprobate out there, you are going to burn in the same hell together. You are not going to be up in heaven singing songs about Jesus Christ unless you repent. Sodomites can get saved. Lesbians can get saved. Drunkards can get saved. Liars can get saved. Unbelievers can get saved. But I'm telling you, according to what I've read in the book of Revelation, when God opens the vials and he pours out the plagues on this wicked earth, I'm telling you, God said they're going to turn instead of repenting of their sin. There's that word again, said it twice in Revelation. He said they'll not repent, but they'll turn and blaspheme the God of heaven, amen. And that's just what they're going to do, amen. I don't care what you think. You can think there's going to be this great revival, this great move of God. It ain't going to happen, honey. Amen. Anything that's going to happen, when you read about a revival in the book of Acts, everybody talks about they talk about the speaking in tongues. Is that was a great revival. Let me tell you what brought the great revival, amen, in the book of Acts. Go back and read it, amen. It's when they killed the Christians, amen. That's when the church started growing, when they put handcuffs on them, when they put Peter and them in prison, amen. They were rejoicing and praising God. Amen. They wasn't praising God and jumping around for joy because they were speaking in tongues. No, sir, they was not. They were rejoicing in the fact that they counted worthy just a little bit to suffer for Jesus Christ, amen. According to that Bible, read it. It's in the book of Acts. Amen. You talk about the book of Acts all the time. I'm telling you by the word of God. Amen. The church flourished. Amen. Paul said they got more boldness. Amen. When they saw me in my bonds, when they saw Paul in his handcuffs. Amen. I'll tell you what, they rejoiced. Amen. And it gave them boldness to go out there in the streets. Amen. And proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to die and to lose their heads for God. Go read it. Amen. Go read it. It's in there. It's all through the book of Acts. Peter was beat. Stephen was stoned to death. Yeah, Stephen was stoned to death on the streets, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling folks, amen, how wicked they were. Read it. He didn't want to tell it. Listen to me. Go back and tell. We'll see what they were doing to Stephen. Stephen started telling them stiff-necked and uncircumcised people, man, in heart, amen. He was telling them how wicked they were, and it made them mad, amen. The Bible said it tormented them for what they were hearing. They covered their ears, and they started gnawing on Stephen. Amen, it's coming again, but I'm telling you, man, God's going to turn his preachers loose on this earth, amen, inside of America. He's going to turn them loose, man. They're going to preach things to you that you've never heard before. Yeah, man, you're going to hear things, man, it's going to make you mad. Yeah, hallelujah. And the last two witnesses, I'm telling you, God will let the last two witnesses do it. Amen. I believe he's going to let his preachers do it. Amen. They're going to tell you things. They're going to call your name out. They're going to call your sin out, honey, and they're going to look you eyeball to eyeball and say, that's just exactly what you're doing. And you know what's going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to cover your ears up. Amen. As it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the second coming. The sodomites ain't going to like what they hear. They ain't going to like the preachers, man. They're going to gnaw on them. They're going to try to rape them. They're going to try to kill them. And they'll kill some of them, amen. They're going to beat a lot of them. But I tell you what, we still win, buddy. We still win. We need to glorify and thank God Almighty we win. Hallelujah. We're not going to win. We've already won. Jesus won at Calvary, amen. He said, it is finished. And when he comes back on that white horse, amen, the stupid devil and his followers, the Antichrist, and all you unbelievers, amen. Jesus has already proclaimed in his word, you lost already, but you got to be a dummy, and you still got to try to fight against God because your father, the devil, has lied to you. Amen, you think you're going to win. You lost already, you reprobates out there tonight that hate God Almighty and thumb your nose up at him. But I tell you what, God's going to cast you into hell forever, and the Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs, amen. He said he's going to laugh at you. He's going to laugh when your calamity cometh upon you. God is going to laugh at you. He's going to laugh when your fear cometh upon you as a whirlwind, what the Bible teaches. Yes, sir, it is. But we live in the last days, folks. We ought to rejoice and be happy Don't worry, be happy. Amen. That's what the world said. Be happy, be happy. Well, God's people need to be happy. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, God, it does not lie. All you people out there, hey, amen, I think about old Duck Dynasty. Hey, amen. They got all that money and everything. You know what? It ain't going to be worth spit, man. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be worth nothing, amen. We're going to find out where they really stand, too. You know what I mean? If they are a child of God, they're going to start being hated by the world. And guess what? That money ain't going to mean nothing. They're going to either deny Jesus Christ. They're going to keep loving that money, honey. They're going to keep loving that money. They're going to keep their daughter out there, prostitute their daughter out there, man, shaking her thing out there in front of the world. And they love Jesus, trying to be alive for Jesus, man, but out there shaking her nakedness out there in front of all those men, man. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, but that's a Christian, ain't it? A lot of people got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the Bible says from such turn away. And that's the big problem with church today. You don't want to turn away. Now, God told you that was a command. That wasn't asking you. God said they got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He said, from such, turn away. But they won't, because you just got to love them. But God said to turn away from them. Huh? That's what the Bible teaches. But I've learned over the years, in 31 years, that most people that, quote, call themselves Christians, unquote, they just ain't Christian. They're not going to do what God says. They're not going to turn away from their family. They're not going to turn away from their friends that are in nakedness and lewdness and wickedness and drunkenness and whoring around and whoremongering, amen, and denying Jesus Christ. And they're just not going to do it. You know why? Because birds of a feather flock together. It's the blind leading the blind. It's the lost walking with the lost. They just got a form of godliness. They go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Some of them just go on Sunday morning, and you know what? They all lost. Jesus said, you come to my house, and you worship me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. You don't know God. You don't know Jesus. You just go to make yourself look good. You go to make yourself feel good, because I'm going to church. But you know what? God's going to separate the wheat from the tares. He's going to separate those that really love God and those that really hate God. God's going to expose you. Amen. And anything you can do, you can't stop it. You know that? That's the wonderful thing about it. You can't stop it. You cannot stop God. All this world looks pitiful, but God said, you know what, this thing ain't turning in because of, you know, really when you think about it and you look in the Bible, God said these things will come to pass. Isn't that correct? That's what God said. So we can't stop what's happening. Amen. God said it's going to be just, it ain't like the devil's taking over and he's winning. No, God said it's going to be like this. Amen. That's what he said. So we ain't lost nothing. Amen. Or we ain't lost anything, should I say. But the Bible teaches that. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read it all, I guess. And then I thought I was going to play it, but I'm going to read this. Amen. We might play it here in a minute. My son is sitting in there on the watching and listening on the computer, and he'll hear me when I give him the cue if I go to that Brother Bernard, you know. But if I don't, amen, that's all right too, praise the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Father, have your way in Jesus' name. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus gave a warning. He said, take heed. And just like hearing the word of God, if you go in there and listen and watch the word of God, he said, take heed how you hear the word. Amen. I believe it's in Luke chapter 8. Take heed how you hear. They heard the word, but they didn't. They wasn't of God except one man. Only one man got saved in there, the parable of the sower. Huh? But the rest of them went to hell. They heard the word, but they didn't hear. Take heed how you hear the word. And here's another, he said, take heed. Amen. Jesus answered, take heed that no man deceive you. Bible says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor boaster, nor reviler, nor extortioner, no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. There's that word, be not deceived again. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Don't worry about the wars and the rumors of wars. He ain't talking about the disciples, amen. He gave this to the disciples, but the disciples have written this down for us. It's going on today, man. This is happening today. This was for today. This was Bible prophecy for today. For nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. It's just the beginning of sorrows, of the wars and the pestilence and the famines. It's just the beginning. It's going to get worse. It's going to get dark. It's going to get very, very, very dark, and especially in America and across the world. It's going to get so dark, amen, that I'm telling you, the wickedness and the lewdness and the... And listen to me, when the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be. Amen. Now listen to me. They were doing the eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And I'll read those verses again here in a minute, but that's what they were doing. On the days of Noah and Lot, listen to me, in the days of Noah and Lot, even in Lot, amen, the perverted reprobates, amen, listen to me, they were trying to rape the angels. You hear what I'm saying? And look what these sodomite and lesbian dogs are doing today, man. Hey, I'm telling you, it's coming to a wickedness and dark time. But you know what? When that wickedness and that dark time came down, God sent two angels in there, buddy. Amen. He sent two of his messengers in there, and God rained down fire and brimstone on that wicked place and burned every last. And you know what? Not one of them was saved. You understand me? Not one of them that died in that fire was saved. They were all lost and gone. Every one of them reprobates went to hell. Everybody that died that day in Sodom and Gomorrah went straight to hell. Amen. Sure did. The ones that burned in that fire. Now, Lot's wife, I question that. I couldn't tell you where Lot's wife went, but God told her not to look back. And she did anyways. Her heart was back there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Her heart was for everything that was there and not doing the things of God. And God turned her into a pillar of salt just like he said he would, didn't he? He did, didn't he? Amen. He was turned into a pillar, she was turned into a pillar of salt. Amen. God don't lie, but he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and every one of them went to hell. Not one of them went to heaven. So, well, they all, well, how do you know they didn't repent? They just did. I don't believe they did. They were wicked and vile and nasty people. And God rained fire and brimstone down on them. What did he say? If there were 10 righteous people, he would spare it. He destroyed every sodomite, lesbian, pervert, child molester, porno freak. They had it back then. Every one of them were destroyed. Drunkards, liars, unbelievers. They were totally destroyed and sent to hell in the days of Noah and Lot. I'm telling you, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's coming, folks. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Yeah, I don't believe it's coming, but it is. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. It's here. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's here. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You hear me? There are people still here, guys. This is, listen to me. Amen. The Lord just showed me this right here, a man reading. Amen. He said what? He said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Amen. That's when the end comes, when the gospel has reached out to every creature on the face of this earth, every nation will hear the word of God, and then the end shall come. When you therefore shall see the abomination, desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. He's talking as it is to his people right then. They're here, guys. You're here, man. How much plainer can you be? We're here. And if you say, well, we're not going to be here, that happened already, then we're in the great tribulation, man. Huh? Think about it. Because this time is talking about the times of tribulation, and after this tribulation comes the great tribulation. You understand me? Then the church is out of here. Amen. We're still here. And all these things are going on. We've had to go through tribulation, man. Now, I ain't say nothing about the great tribulation, but we're fixing to go through tribulation. We're fixing to go through persecution. Amen. Like we've never seen before in our life in this country. Look at what's going on, man. Open your eyes, preacher. Open your eyes. You said you're a child of God. Open them up. Look. We're not raptured out of here. We're still here, and it's going on. And Jesus said, until that gospel has reached everybody and every nation, amen, then it's not time. Let him which is on the housetop not come down, neither let them which is in the field return back to take their clothes. Woe unto them to give suck in those days, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall not no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, see, I'm telling you, we're still here. If any man say unto you, he ain't saying that to you in heaven. He's saying that to you here on this earth. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show signs, great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That means they're still here, honey. They're not gone. All these things are going on. This is coming tribulation now. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But the Bible says, is it not? For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Listen. You know, I just talked about a lot of this earlier. You go to the book of Joel, and you go to the book of Acts, and then you go to the book of Revelation, and you see what's going on here. You will find this in the book of Joel. You will find it in the book of Acts. And you will find it in the book of Revelation. The very same wording, or, you know, close to it, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The Bible says in Joel, because these people like to quote it a whole lot, you know, and they try to draw off that that's where God called women preachers in the church, and that's wrong. It's a lie. They will prophesy. The Bible teaches they will. He said he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. Not in the church now, and I don't want to go there tonight, but you never finish what goes with it. The same thing that is mentioned here, he said the sun will be darkened and the moon shall be turned into blood. Huh? And look in there, it's talking about being persecuted in there, the whole thing, but you don't never go that far. You always stop at this, your sons and now you're going to pour out the spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters are prophesied. And that's not taking place yet. No, it's not. Again, if it is, then we're in the great tribulation. Right? Look. But he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So that means he's collecting us. Amen. He's collecting us, getting us ready. Amen. Getting us. He's coming for his church. Amen. Y'all hang tight a minute. I'm about to lose my phone here. I knew it would before it hangs up on me. That's what I get for using a cell phone out in my truck. Amen. All right, we should be on the same page now. Amen. Hopefully I won't hang it up. Anyways, I don't know if we're still on, but I'm hoping we are. My battery's trying to bite the dust, and I got this thing I usually push. Hope I don't hang up on it. Well, it shows we're connected, so. But anyways, let's see. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together, okay? And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. That means we're here. We're going through this. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. This generation he's talking about is now. Our generation right now shall not pass until everything that God has spoken about shall be revealed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus don't even know the day when he's coming back. Only God knows, amen. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We are very close. Amen. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came, and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and the one be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh. Amen. But know this, that if a good man of the house had known in what time, what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and it shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, and so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were, amen, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Folks, we're there. We're coming into a time, amen, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated in this country. I'm talking about, I live in America. I'm an American citizen. I was born in America. But I want you to know this. That flag ain't going to save you. Being a patriot ain't going to save you. Amen. Being a part of anything ain't going to save you but Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on a cross. He shed his blood for our sins. Amen. To save a wicked sinner. Amen. From a place called hell. And when God saved you, you become a son of God. Amen. You become ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You became kings and priests. Amen. But folks, we live in a nation now, and we ought to be rejoicing. Amen. We are, all these years I've been preaching and seeing things being fulfilled, and now they're being fulfilled when you got a White House. And like I said earlier, the sodomites and the lesbians and all the stupid people up there in Washington, amen, keep on, with the rainbow, amen. That's God's, amen. See, you're like your father, the devil. You're a thief and a murderer and a liar. From the beginning, I want y'all to know tonight, amen, you're not going to heaven, amen. I want every sodomite and lesbian and pervert out there, child molesting reprobate bastards out there, I want you to know tonight by the word of God, you're not going to heaven. You'll not be in heaven. You are defiled. You are an abomination in the nose of God. Amen. I don't care if you like that or not. The Bible teaches you are a total abomination in the eyes of God, in the heart of God, in the nose of God. And you'll not step into heaven. I don't care what them lying preachers tell you. I don't care what your lying preacher tells you. Unless you repent, you're going to burn in a place called hell. You're looking at the lake of fire for eternity. You are going to hell in a handbasket, amen. Well, the handbasket will be burned up, but you won't. You are going to hell, and you thumb your nose up at God. And the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation that you're already there because you turned and blasphemed the God of heaven. You can think you're doing good now. That's like one sodomite said this. Well, God didn't destroy us. God didn't destroy us when they passed that law. Let me tell you something. That's not man. That's man's law, not God's law. Amen. And that don't make it right just because them sodomite dogs, man. They talk about getting married and everything. They're not married in the eyes of God. They are not married. They are not man and woman. They are man and woman. And God said, you are deceived. You are deceived as deceived can be, man. You are a reprobate, and you are not married. You are not saved. You are not a Christian. You are a reprobate in the eyes of God. According to the scriptures, you are not saved. I judging you? Yeah, I sure am. You are not saved according to this Bible. You can twist it, turn it, do whatever you want to, but God has never changed. He's the same today as he was yesterday, forever will be. God made them male and female. God gave a man, amen, what he gave him, and gave a woman, made a woman just exactly like he wanted so we could replenish the earth. You can't replenish, you recruit. Amen. You're a liar and a deceiver. You're like your father, the devil. Amen. You are sons of Satan is what you are. And daughters of Satan. I don't care if you like that or not. That's just what you are. You're reprobate in the eyes of God. The Bible teaches, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you do not repent of your sins, you are not going to heaven. The Catholics ain't going. The Mormons ain't going. Jehovah's Witnesses ain't going. There's going to be some Baptists ain't going. There's going to be Pentecostals that ain't going. There's going to be Salvation Army people ain't going. There's going to be all kinds of people that ain't going. Why? Because they've never repented of their sins. They've never asked Jesus to save them. They will burn in a place called hell. You, if you're an unbeliever, you're just as wicked as a child molester. You hear me? I know you don't like that, but that's what you are. If you're a Christ-rejecting liar, you're just as wicked and going to go to the same hell as a sodomite does. Yes, you are. You got your Pharisees out there that thinking by their good works they're going to get to go to heaven. They put out this money. They help the poor. They feed the homeless. They do all these good works and everything, thinking they're going to get to go to heaven. But the Bible said, "By not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You're not going to, that's what the Pharisees were trying to do. They were trying to get to heaven on their good works, man. They thought they were good. Jesus said, "There's none good, no, not one." You're not any better than the drunkard. Amen. You're a religious person. You go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the door's open, but you're lost as hell itself. Amen. You're just as lost as a lost, as lost can be. You got a form of godliness. You go to church, try to dress right, try to talk right, try to walk right, but you don't know Jesus. There's never been a change in your life. There's never been a change in your heart. You're the same old person you was 20 years ago. Jesus said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you still what you was, then you ain't. If you're still out there doing the same old wicked junk, man, still whoring around, still fornicating, amen. I'm telling you, if you're still out there, man, and everything that's ungodly, I'm telling you by the word of God, you are lost as lost can be. You've never been a Christian. You've never been saved. A true child of God is going to turn from all that wickedness, man. Every bit of it, a child of God hates that garbage. It's filth. It's nasty. It stinks in the nostrils of God. And a child of God will know that because our Father lets us know that. Amen. I don't care if you like that or not. I really don't care what you think. Amen. But the Bible, because the Bible teaches this. Amen. But anyways, we're living in a time, folks. We're living in a time where they're calling evil good and good evil. Amen. We're living in a time where they reject God Almighty. We're living in a time of Noah and Lot. Amen. Where the Lot and it was perverted in the days of Noah. God said he smelt the stench of our sins, man, of the people. Amen. He smelt the nastiness coming up to his nose. And he destroyed with a flood. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, burned it, slapped to the ground. He destroyed Pompeii for the wickedness of sodomy and lesbianism and all the wickedness, man, that you could think of, orgies and all that, sexual sins and stuff, man. God destroyed every bit of it. Amen. And you know what? God's going to destroy America. God is. God's going to destroy it. God, Babylon's going to fall, buddy. There ain't a thing you can do with it. The Bible, I believe we crossed the line, man. I believe America's crossed the line. God sees where your heart is. God really does, man. Look what we got. I'm telling you, man. This ain't what God wanted for America. God didn't want America to be a sodomite nation. God didn't want that. But because of the wickedness of your hearts and because of the rejection of Jesus Christ and because of the unbelief that you have, God turned you over to a reprobate mind to do those wicked things. You hear me? He turned you over. And he said he's going to send you strong delusion because you'd rather believe a lie than the truth. So that's what he's done to America. You want to believe a lie? God says, here. You don't want the truth? Here. Then I'm going to turn you over to reprobate mind. He didn't say that you'd all get saved either. He didn't say anything about that because he loves you. He said that you all may be damned. That's why I don't believe. You can think what you want to. Amen. I believe 99% of America is lost and going straight to hell, man. I don't believe there's but 1% of people in this country that truly loves Jesus Christ. I believe the rest of them going to hell. Amen. I don't believe. Hey, listen to me. I don't care if you like that or not. Amen. Look what we have today. Look what we have. They mock sin. They ride around naked on bicycles, man, and nobody does anything about it. The cops don't do anything. Man, they got the nation stirred up, man, with racial wars and stuff going on. Hey, they done it in the White House, man. They caused all this garbage. They caused all the fighting. Amen. That old boy went into that place. It wasn't the flag that done anything, man. It was that boy that done it. It wasn't a gun that done it. It was the boy that done it. He's the one that done the wickedness. Amen. But you know what? They found a scapegoat, man, to cause trouble. That's all that place does, that White House and all that Congress and all them people up there. They're led by the devil, man. They're following their father, Satan, and they stirred this world up, man. They stirred this country up. They're liars like their father, the devil. They're all shaking hands together. They're all birds of a feather flocking together. Republicans and Democrats are all the same. Amen. They're all the same. They're shaking hands with each other. But you know what? The Bible teaches, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Go ahead and think you're having your field day. Go ahead and think you're doing something. But I'm telling you, judgment's coming. Judgment's, part of judgment's here. But you ain't saying nothing yet. You ain't saying, hey, listen, Christian, we're not out of here yet. We're in the days of Noah and Lot. Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Get ready for the storm. Storm's coming. Amen. And God is going to send whirlwinds. And God is going to send earthquakes. And famines and pestilence are going to be worse than you've ever seen in your life. God is going to shake this place. He's going to shake the plates underneath this earth. You're going to see volcanoes more erupting. Amen. I'm telling you. You're going to see more earthquakes you've ever seen in your life. That's right. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. America, the Babylon the Great, has fallen. They sealed their tomb with the wicked reprobate judges and the Congress and the president. They have sealed their judgment, their days here. And God is angry with the wicked every day, and he's going to pass judgment. I'm telling you, repent before it's too late, if you can. I don't really know if they can, but I still say repent. It's like God said in the book of Revelation, he gave them space to repent, but they still will not repent. They just turned to blaspheme the God of heaven. So anyways, if my son's up there and he's still hearing me, I'm going to let him turn it over to Brother Bernard. And go from there tonight, amen. So as soon as he turns that on, I'll shut up. We're living in the days of Noah, though. We're living in the days of wickedness and lewdness and nastiness and perversion. But, hey, we're to rejoice. Amen. So I'm listening and waiting. I don't know, he might not be listening to me. But I know we're online. Amen. So whenever he gets that going, I will shut up. Amen. I guess I could honk my horn. I'm in my truck and hey, if you're not saved tonight, I hope you repent of your sins and ask God to save you and get things right with God before it's too late. And church, if you're out there tonight hearing my voice, I hope and pray that you get ready because we're going to, we need to be ready. And because Christ is coming, but we're fixing to go through the hardest time of our life in this country. And my radio man ain't hearing me or something, so I don't know what's going on, folks. And so you might hear there for a minute, he's running out here to tell me. I don't know what's going on. Well, folks, Lord bless the saints of God. That's Brother Wallace prayer. I know it sounds kind of skittish tonight or whatever. We got it under control, but I just felt led to go ahead and shut her down like this and go ahead and play that on play it on out until 9 o'clock. So anyways, if you're lost, I pray you repent. And if you're saved, I pray you get ready, because we're just going to a time. And I'll try to do some more, be a little more next week, Lord willing. But praise God for those that pray for us and for those that do tune into it. And just keep praying for us, and we'll be back in our place, Lord willing, next week to be more ready. I'm ready, but I feel led to go ahead and do this again tonight. So anyways, if we got time left, I'll come back on here. May the Lord bless every saint of God. That's Brother Wally's prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us turn now to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 36 through 39. Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 36 through 39. We're going to read this together. Matthew, Mark, Luke 7, 36 through 39. You do not have a Bible, we want you to look on with someone else so you will know that I am preaching from the Word of God.
Yes, yes,
Lord. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 39. And it reads, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Amen. You may be seated. We would like to speak this hour from the thought, ugly me. Ugly me. Ugly me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Much of what passes for genuine personhood in African American life and culture is inauthentic, to say the least.
Yes, yes, sir.
As a people, we don't know who we are.
Amen.
Although we are made in the image of God, we don't know much about God.
Yes.
And consequently, we don't know much about ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Much of what the predominant Anglo-Saxon European culture portrays of us is negative. In the mainstream media, the term black has become a synonym for crime, poverty, miseducation, or no education. Indeed, my friends, study after study has shown that African Americans even see themselves in a negative light.
Yeah.
And this is with good reason. The overwhelming majority of urban black America.
Yes, sir.
Grows up in the midst of mind-numbing material poverty. And an ever-deepening hole of spiritual neglect. The generation that is coming into being in this, the early 21st century, this is perhaps the third or fourth generation that will have less than their parents.
Yeah, yeah.
In the home, there's usually one birth parent, the mother. And because the number of black females who are choosing to remain unmarried is skyrocketing, children continue to be brought into the world confused about themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Confused about the notions of what it means to be a part of a family.
Yeah.
Confused about their sexuality.
Yeah.
And most of all, confused about what it means to be worthy of being loved.
Yes, yes, Lord.
And this is truly a sad fact, because if we cannot love ourselves, we are incapable of loving anybody else.
Yes, Lord.
The biblical mandate in both the Old and New Testaments is clear.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
Implicit in this mandate,
yes,
is that one has a healthy view of his own personhood.
Yes.
Your personhood is who you are as a person.
Yes.
It is what you are at your deepest levels.
Yes.
It is what you think about yourself.
Yes.
Personhood is what separates a human being from an animal.
Yes.
Your personhood is what keeps you from acting instinctually like an animal.
Yes.
Your personhood is what keeps you from being filled with uncontrollable lusts and desires.
Yes.
A deep sense of personhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's what keeps an angry black man from taking revenge on his brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is what keeps a single black female celibate.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Even though everybody else is bed hopping.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Authentic personhood frees us from being envious.
Yeah.
Authentic personhood frees us from being jealous of folk.
Yeah.
Authentic personhood frees us from having malice in our hearts.
Yeah.
Authentic personhood is the image of God waiting to come forth from within you.
Yes, sir.
An animal, on the other hand,
good, Doc,
are those filled with uncontrollable passions and emotions.
Yeah.
Cannot express the image of God.
Yes.
You see, in order to learn to love like God loves,
yes,
we must first learn how to love ourselves.
Yes.
And experience authentic personhood.
Yes.
All of the aforementioned factors, poverty, single parent homes, lack of education, etc., they have combined over the last 50 years.
Yes, sir.
To create a sea of helplessness and hopelessness that has further fed our spiritual decline as a people.
Yes.
In a word, my friends, many of us today, we feel just plain ugly.
Yes.
Yes.
I know we dress well. I know that some of us are well educated.
Yes.
I know that we express ourselves articulately. I know that we own our own homes. And we believe ourselves to be genuinely good people.
Yeah.
Yet in the back of our minds,
good, Doc, good,
many of us feel worthless.
Yeah.
Like we are next to nothing.
Good, Doc, good.
Just plain ugly.
Yeah.
This is exactly where the heroine in this passage of Scripture finds herself.
Yeah.
She is feeling downright ugly.
Yeah.
And although her biography is not given to us, we may reasonably deduce from the text that she is not a part of the in crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is described several times in the passage as a sinner.
Yeah.
And this woman was not just any sinner.
Yes, sir.
Some theologians consider her a prostitute.
Yes, sir.
Other theologians say that this description is mistaken and is too harsh. But nevertheless, this woman was a known sinner.
Yes.
She is described by the Pharisee in verse 39 as a sinner.
Yes.
She is described by Jesus in verse 48 as a sinner.
Yes.
But the question I have today is, isn't it ironic that the very social environment that tells women that they are ugly,
yes,
is the same one that offers the sin to them that makes them feel ugly?
Yes. Yes,
let me give you an example now. Music in urban America,
yes,
is complete with ugly references to black women.
Yes.
Yes. Itches.
Yes. Yes.
Holes.
Yes.
But yet is this environment that also offers them jobs as strippers.
Yes.
Yes.
Exotic dancers.
Yes.
And prostitutes.
Yes,
come on, pastor.
Another example comes from our homes.
Yes.
Most homes, listen to me good and look at me. Most homes send an undeniable message to the children.
Yes.
Three words.
Yes, sir.
You are unloved.
Yes. Yes.
Most homes.
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in here.
Yes.
Send an undeniable message to the children.
Yes.
You are unloved.
Yes, sir.
Black children are denied authentic personhood.
Yes. Yes.
They are treated as mere appendages and little sacks of burdens to be borne.
Yes.
Rather than as little images of God to be nurtured and cared for.
Yes.
You see, ugly begins in the home.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir.
You want to know how you got to be feeling ugly? It started at your house.
Yes.
When you were a child.
Yes.
Starts at the home because home is where incest occurs.
Yes.
You know what incest is, right?
Yes, sir.
That's when a person messing with you and they're your kin.
Yes, yes. Yes, sir.
Incest makes a person feel ugly.
Yes.
Many rapes occur in the home.
Yes.
At the hands of persons, not that we don't know, but of persons we do know.
Yes, yes.
And then when we go to mama and daddy to tell them so-and-so raped me,
yeah,
we feel ugly,
yeah,
because our claims fall on deaf ears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Physical abuse,
yes, sir,
occurs in the home.
Yeah.
And it makes children feel ugly.
Yes, sir.
You say that you're not abusing, but you're hitting that child all upside the head.
Yes.
You're calling her the same B and W that the rap video is calling her.
Yes.
Neglect,
mm-hmm,
makes a person feel ugly.
Yes.
And it occurs in the home.
Yes.
Can't you hear a child now?
Mm-hmm.
Neglect.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, no one helps me with my homework.
Yes. Yes.
No one tells what time I come in.
Yes.
They don't make sure I'm at home at a reasonable hour.
Yes.
When my mama's boyfriend comes around.
Yes.
I have to leave.
Yes.
children stay outside all night because mama's boyfriend has come over.
Yeah.
No one makes sure that I'm well groomed and have enough to eat.
Yes, sir.
Nobody checks my clothes before I go to school.
Yes, sir.
Nobody irons my clothes.
Yes, sir.
This is the face of neglect talking.
Yes. Good, Doc. Good.
No one loved me enough to pray with me.
Yes.
No one listens to me.
Yes.
No one puts their arms around me and tells me that I am loved.
Yes.
All I hear in the house is people yelling at each other.
Yes.
And all my parents do is scream at each other.
Yes.
And scream at me.
Yes.
There's anger all around me.
Yes.
You see, sin and ugliness, they go hand in hand.
Yes.
The nameless woman in this passage was considered ugly by the society in which she lived.
Yes.
But it was the sin offered by that society that made her ugly.
Yes.
Yet this woman had one thing of value.
Yeah.
She still had an alabaster box.
Mm-hmm.
In first century Jewish life,
yeah,
when a young woman reached marriageable age, her family would purchase an alabaster box for her.
Yeah.
And they would fill it with precious ointments.
Yes, sir.
Now, the size of the box and the value of the ointment would depend on the family's wealth.
Yeah.
And the box would become a part of the woman's dowry for her husband.
Yeah.
And once a young Jewish woman was engaged, she would take the box, she would break it at her fiancé's feet.
Yeah.
And then she would begin to anoint him with the ointment that was on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a sign of being transferred from under her parents' authority.
Yes, sir.
To the authority of her husband.
Yes, yes.
It was a sign of reverence and respect.
Yes.
And the context of this passage makes it clear
that
this woman is well past marriageable age.
Yes.
We do not know whether she's married or not. We may reasonably presume that she is not, for she is in the presence of other men without her husband.
Yes.
In Jewish terms, this tells us that she has not been lucky in love.
Yes.
She has evidently seen some bad times.
Yes.
Like many of us, she's been some places.
Yes, sir.
She has done some things
yes.
that has made her feel downright ugly.
Yes. Good job.
Life can so mar us that oftentimes we feel like we're at the end of our proverbial rope.
Yes.
We may still laugh and smile.
Yes.
We may still come to church.
Yes.
But we are one step away from losing our minds.
Yes.
This lady had reached that point.
Yes.
And then she remembered one thing.
Yes.
Through the many rough times in her life,
yes.
she has held on to one thing of value.
Yes.
Her virginity gone.
Yes.
Her love for herself gone.
Yes.
Her dignity stripped. But she had one thing left.
Yes.
This little alabaster box
yes.
of ointment.
Yes.
This box of ointment was evidently very costly.
Yeah.
The parallel account in Mark 14 and 5 indicates that the box and the ointment were worth a year's worth of wages.
Yes.
Can you imagine what possessed this woman to hold on to this box?
Yeah.
Past the time of traditional Jewish marriage.
Yeah.
If she had ever been married, she didn't give up the box in the marriage.
Yeah.
During the many times, now just think about it. During the many times when she may have needed money.
Yeah.
She didn't give the box up.
Yes, sir.
My guess is that this box not only contained ointment, But it represented the last of her hopes and dreams to be somebody.
Yes, 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 yes.
This box represented the life.
Yes, sir.
That she wanted to live.
Yeah.
The life that we plan for ourselves as children.
Yes.
The life in which our mothers and fathers are in the same home.
Yes.
A life in which they love us.
Yes.
Hold us.
Yes.
Tell us they love us dearly.
Yes.
Help us with our homework.
Yes.
Pray with us and train us.
Yes.
The life which when we leave their house, we marry a spouse.
Yes.
And they love us dearly.
Yes.
They never cheat on us.
Yes.
And then we love them back.
Yes.
Nobody really wants to, Brother Paulin, live a life of sin and misery.
Yes.
Sin ruined the woman's chances for true love and authentic personhood.
Yes.
Sin made her little more than an animal.
Yes.
Sin made the woman ugly.
Yes.
And she in turn made her way to the only person that she felt could understand her ugliness. It is not enough in life to identify the problems.
Yeah.
The problems are well documented.
Yeah.
The question is, where are the solutions?
Yeah.
This woman had not yet broken her alabaster box of ointment before she met Jesus.
Yeah.
She had to have known that there was always something better in life.
Yes, sir.
Than what she was presently experiencing.
Yeah.
She had saved her box for that moment when she believed that all of her hopes and dreams could be realized.
Yeah.
She saved that box for that moment when she would sit at Jesus' feet.
Yeah.
In contrast, my friends, many of us, we have broken our boxes already. You see, we have broken our boxes on people or situations that can't help us. They only make us feel uglier and in the end cause us to despair even more. Many of us broke our boxes on the back seats of cars. We then broke our boxes on our jobs.
Yes.
We put faith in an education to get this job.
Yes.
And then the job let us down.
Yes.
We broke our boxes at the feet of family members.
Yes.
And then our family disowns us.
Yes.
The club scene doesn't make us feel good about ourselves.
Yes.
It makes us feel ugly.
Yes.
How many times have we left the club with a man or a woman only to feel empty the next morning? With man after man after man doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. It makes us feel downright ugly. And don't tell me you done went from the man to the women. From sex between women and women doesn't make us feel good either. It still makes us feel downright ugly. Stepping out on our husbands or wives, it doesn't make us feel good. It makes us feel ugly. Every lie we tell, it's called a black lie because it's ugly. Every lie we tell on somebody, every lie we tell to conceal our sin, is downright ugly. Every time we steal, even from God, it's ugly. It mars our personhood. When we have malice, malice is ugly. To hate somebody, to feel bad towards them, is downright ugly. When we look down on others, UGLY is our name. We can't look down on folk. Even every time we take a chance at the casino, run down with our hopes high and our pockets filled, and come out of there broke and feeling ugly, that same old ugly feeling come back. The news from heaven today, my friends, is that we can't love in the midst of our ugliness.
Yes.
If we feel ugly,
yes,
and unlovable,
yes,
we are incapable of loving others.
Yes.
For the record is, we must love others even as we love ourselves.
Yes.
And our destructive thoughts about ourselves,
yes,
that's what causes us,
yes,
to damage or destroy those around us.
Yes.
You see, the reason I can't love you,
yes,
it's because I don't yet love me.
Yes.
And the reason I don't see take you serious,
yes,
is because I don't take myself serious.
Yes.
The reason I can't embrace you,
yes,
the reason I can't say soft things to you,
yes,
the reason you don't know you're loved,
yes,
is because I have never experienced love.
Yes.
And I can't give you what I don't have.
Yes.
All I got is some ugly down in me.
Yes.
And so therefore all I can give you is ugly.
Yes.
I want to love you, but I can't love you because I got ugly down in my heart. All my folks did was ever holler at me. All they did was ever talk about me. All I ever saw was bad stuff. I don't know enough about good stuff to give you good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Ugly me.
Yes.
You see,
yes,
we can't help it,
mm-hmm,
because we've not yet embraced,
yes,
our true personhood.
Yes.
We are still allowing our instincts,
yes,
and passions,
yes,
to control us.
Yes.
We wonder why our plans don't turn out okay.
Yes.
But we forget that no matter how nicely we dress,
yeah,
how many friends we have,
yeah,
we are still ugly,
yeah,
on the inside.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we have, what title we have in life,
yeah,
senator,
yeah,
congressman,
yeah,
CEO,
yeah,
pastor,
yeah,
millionaire,
yeah,
we are still ugly on the inside.
Yeah.
That is, my friends, until we take our box,
yeah,
take it to Jesus,
yeah,
and break it at his feet.
Yeah.
Note, my friends, that it's not enough to take your box to Jesus.
Yes.
The box has to be broken,
yes,
to get at the ointment,
yes,
which is on the inside.
Yes.
To put it plainly, my friends,
yes,
God wants us to bring our lives, which are our boxes,
yes,
before him at his feet.
Yes.
To be at Jesus' feet is to worship Jesus.
Yes.
But yet we can't bring the box and just sit them there.
Yeah.
See, bringing the box and sitting them there, that's just plain old coming to church.
Yeah.
You see, we really don't know how to worship God until we ourselves are broken at his feet. We can't come high and up mighty. We got to come down low. Ugly low. U-G-L-Y low. Snot running from your nose. Tears falling from your eyes. Remembering everything you done done. Every place you done been. Every lie you done told. Laying broken at the feet of Jesus. You got to let all the ugly that's in you. You got to let it out. It doesn't matter who see the tears. Our Heron didn't care. This ugly sinner had had enough. This lady who had been dehumanized and robbed of her dignity, she did the one thing that made her truly human. She surrendered to Jesus. Her surrender, my friends, it wasn't merely lip service. And it was not done half-heartedly. Hers was a costly surrender. And when you really surrender, yours too would be a costly surrender. Not just some of the way, but all the way. Not just fractured, but split in half. Broken before God. God can't use you till you've been broken. This ugly woman gave herself to Jesus in a way that she had never given herself to any man. You better look at me now. You know how you give yourself to that man. You'll give yourself to Jesus in a way you've never given yourself to any man. You see, my friends, we have all been with folks, and before long we ain't known them 2 months.
Yeah.
We telling them we love them.
Yes,
spending money on them.
Yes.
Going to bed with them.
Yes.
Missing church for them.
Yes.
Taking tithing money giving it to them, because we have no love on the inside. But when you finally realize who it is that died for you, you will go to him. You will get at his feet. You will beg him worse than you begged any man. She looked for Jesus, and she brought her expensive alabaster box full of ointment with her. In other words, my friends, if you're tired of feeling ugly, you got to show enough look for Jesus. And if you're still feeling ugly, it's because you hadn't found him. This woman wanted to let him know how much she really wanted to change. She was tired of being ugly. Don't you get tired of being ugly sometimes? And what the woman needed, what makes us feel ugly, is the sin that it built up on our lives. It's all the times we've worn the same negligee to bed with different men. It's how we done perform the same act in bed on different men. It's how men done perform the same act on different women. All that make us feel ugly. And the only remedy for it is forgiveness. What the woman needed was forgiveness and to be made new. She gave the most valuable thing that she had, because her trust was no longer in things. Her trust was in Jesus. So she broke her box of ointment. If you trust God, you'll give him your all. You'll break your box of ointment. You see, God can fix ugly, but you have to be broken. We need somebody who knows about the hurt and all the ugliness, how it makes us feel. The woman shed tears as she anointed Jesus. How many times have we begged and pleaded with a man not to leave us? How many times have we pleaded with a woman to stay with us? How many times have we begged folk to love us, when in the end we know that they really didn't love us? How many times have we wanted to be acknowledged and recognized, only to be ignored one more time? All of these emotional attachments and bad memories, they make us feel ugly. How many times have we stepped out on our wives and made our wives feel ugly? And wives, how many times have we stepped out on our husbands and made our husband feel like less than a man? How many times have we lied and lied so much until we thought we couldn't lie no more? How many mornings have we woke up with the same sick feeling? We was fighting last night, went to bed fighting, got up fighting. I'm just ugly and tired of fighting. With all the lies that the world have told us, why would we waste our worship on the world? Why, my friends, do you keep running back to the same situations and the same people who keep treating you ugly and telling you that you ain't nothing but ugly? Why don't you get your box, what little you have left, scrape it up, scrape your dignity up, get it up off the ground. Remember everything that you went through as a child, all your bad memories, all your hurt, and all your pain. Bring them to the feet of Jesus. Tell the Lord about it. The Lord, he wants you to worship him, but you can't worship him until you come as you are. Don't get dressed up to come to Jesus. And when I say get dressed up, I mean be somebody that you're not. God was right there when you were raped. He was right there when the incest went on. He was right there when your husband stepped out on you. He saw how your parents did you. God wants you to bring all that hurt, gather it up, bring it to this altar, and tell him about it. You have to cry sometime in order to let that ugly, to let it out of you. You got to tell the Lord, I don't know why I don't love myself. I don't know why I don't feel good. about myself. But I know you know me because you made me. I want to be made new. You got to ask the Lord to forgive you for ugly. And when he forgive you for ugly, he'll make you brand new. He'll put running in your feet. He'll put a smile on your face. He'll take cursing out of your heart. He'll take malice right away from you. Ugly me.
Yeah.
Ugly me.
Yes.
Ugly me. Ugly me.
Yeah.
My friends, if you're feeling ugly, many of us, we feel downright ugly.
Yeah.
Like don't nobody love us.
Yeah.
And the more we try to love, the more we mess up love.
Yeah.
And it is because we've not humbled ourselves at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's stuff that we know about us that we've not told anybody.
Yeah.
Somebody need to hear that. About all that ugly you feel on the inside.
Yeah.
You see, that ugly is what's driving you.
Yeah.
Until that ugly come out,
you'll
never be who God wants you to be. You'll never be able to give and receive love like you want to give and receive love.
Because
there's too much ugly in there. If you're here today, shall we stand?
Yeah.
If you're here today, you're tired of being ugly.
Yeah.
We want you to come. Ugly me. We have a whole generation that don't know anything about love.
Yeah.
Because their parents didn't know anything about love.
Yeah.
We don't know how to give it, how to receive it.
Yeah.
We in the same house with our children.
Yeah.
Can't even talk to them.
Yeah.
They can't talk to us. And all we do is argue, fuss and fight. And I tell you, children go to school mixed up, messed up.
Yeah.
More than ever. Men step out on their wives.
Yeah.
Bring a disease back to the house.
Yes, sir.
Had a wife wondering what's wrong with her.
Yeah.
Had a wife wondering what's wrong with her.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And it makes the wife feel just ugly. Knowing that she was with her husband, but really, since he was with somebody else, she was with him too.
Yeah.
We've been talked about. We've been lied on. We folk have had their feet on us for so long that instead of being joyous, we have to hide the hurt that we feel on the inside.
Yeah.
But you see, if you're hurting, you can't get over it. You're not going to be able to love other folk that you need, that's dependent on you to love them. You got to be able to love. And if you can't love, what do you have to offer in marriage? What do you have to offer your children? What do you have to offer the Lord in this world? Wherever you are, whatever you've been through, God can heal you. You just have to believe. And you have to gather up all that you have. I'm not talking about your money.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all your hopes and your dreams.
Yeah.
And all the things that you thought your life was going to be.
Yeah.
And it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
And bring them before the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the only one. You got to tell it. You got to tell it. Because you got to be delivered from it. And you're going to stay feeling ugly. You're going to stay low self-esteem. You're going to stay that way until you confess before the Lord Jesus all these ugly things. The door is open. We're waiting on you. If God is dealing with you, you ought to come today and get the ugliness out that you might love with total abandon. You see, the reason many of us don't love is because we're afraid of being hurt. But if nobody ever hurts you, you never would have known and been afraid of loving somebody. So we know everybody got some ugly in them somewhere where you were hurt and it wasn't your own fault. But that's all right, because the Lord got a place for ugly. You see, my friends, on Calvary's cross, it wasn't pretty. He not the shining white Jesus that you see in all the pictures. And on all the images, His was a bloody death, a gruesome death, a gory death, in which he had both blood and dirt mingled on his body. His was an ugly death, twisted in torture and agony. It was an ugly scene. But out of that ugly comes a beauty that can't be described. Out of ugly comes beauty, my friends. What this lady did at the feet of Jesus was memorialized for us in Scripture to show the great beauty that comes out of ugly. When we surrender, God does with us what He will. And in His doing it, what once was ugly becomes a beautiful testament to God's saving power, to God's healing power. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It was ugly so that great grace and beauty could come out of it. If you're here today and God is dealing with you, won't you come? You don't have to leave feeling ugly. You don't have to join this church. But you do need to come. Come, let us get it right before the Lord. You may be seated. And as we deal with these, we want you to... Hi, this is Reverend R.D. Bernard, pastor of the King Solomon Baptist Church in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Thank you for listening each and every week to this broadcast. If you would like a copy of this message, please call the church. Operators are standing by. That number is 601-638-7658. 601-638-7658.
What a phenomenal and blessed sermon coming from Pastor R.D. Bernard of the King Solomon Baptist Church on this wonderful Sunday morning. We're privileged to have with us this morning Pastor Bernard of the King Solomon Baptist Church. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Good morning, Brother Hart. I'm doing great, great, great. Praise the Lord. So happy to be here in your studio.
Glad to have you with us. Pastor Bernard, let's talk about this particular book you've written a few months ago, Your Journey to Spiritual Maturity.
Wonderful book.
Volume 1, The Fool. Now, you just say wonderful book. Why do you say that?
I say it's a wonderful book because finally we have something from the African-American inner-city perspective that's in print, that's real. You know how you go to the bookstore and you look at certain books and you wonder, you know, this doesn't really speak to my situation. Your Journey to Spiritual Maturity, I think, is a book that's real. It tells the truth. It pulls the veneer off and just really lets the punches land where they may.
Now, this particular book hits at home in a lot of the black communities.
It really does.
Let's talk about your first chapter in this book, which speaks about who in hell is praying for you. What makes you write about hell as far as someone praying for you in hell?
Well, first of all, we all believe that everybody's going to heaven. And, of course, biblically we know that's not true. And so Luke chapter 16 tells the story of a man who lived a fairly good life by worldly standards, but he died and found himself in hell. And in hell, he prayed and he asked Abraham, hey, can I go back and I warn people, warn my family members not to come to this place because this place is real. And so a lot of people that we follow, a lot of people that we were in church with, and they may have lived some rough lifestyles, and we, you know, admired them. A lot of those folks are now in hell. And we got to realize that we can't follow anybody's example but the Lord Jesus. Because a lot of the pastors that we followed, a lot of the deacons that we followed, their bad example landed them in hell. And if we continue to follow that bad example, we too will end up in hell. And if you want this book, you can call the church, 601-638-7658. Or if you want a copy of that phenomenal sermon, as Brother Hart called it, you can also call the church at 601-638-7658. Operators are standing by now.
Now, Pastor Bernard, I've listened to a number of your sermons over the past few years, and these sermons are very, very spiritually fed. And, of course, they